That was a wonderful song selection. Thank you for that. Turn with me, if you would, back to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Last Wednesday night, we looked at the first half of this account, and this morning I'd like for us to look at the other half of the account. Let's read these verses again. Let's read them one more time, beginning in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." This is a very well-known account from the Scripture. The Lord came to his disciples walking on water. If that doesn't show us that our Lord is sovereignly above everything that man is subject to, nothing will. This is the God of all things, including gravity. But our Lord came to his disciples walking on water at a moment when the wind and the waves were so fierce, the disciples were being tossed all over the place. I'm sure you've seen images and movies of a ship in a great storm out in the middle of the ocean. And the rain is just, I'm talking a great storm. The rain is blowing sideways to the point that you can't hardly see. When you're in a storm like that, when you're in rain like that, you can't hardly see. And, a wave is up and a wave is down. And as our Lord is coming to them, he's hard to see. And they can see him when the wave is down, but then they can't see him when the wave is up. They're getting flashes. And having never seen a man walk on water before, they thought they were seeing a ghost. They thought they were seeing a spirit. So in fear, they start crying out, "Who's there?" Top of their lungs, crying out, "Who are you? What do you want?" And immediately they heard back a voice that they knew very well. A voice that spoke immediate comfort to them and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. You know me. You know me. Be not afraid. Be not afraid." We have a little dog. Our family has a little dog. And every time I come into our house from the front door, usually I come in through the garage. And every time I come in through the front door, she goes berserk. Just barking, running, you know, anxious, antsy. And as soon as I get the door open, I start saying, "Ellie, it's me. It's me. You know me. You know I'm not here to harm you. You know I'm not here to break into your family's house. It's me." I don't even say my name. I don't open the door and say, "Ellie, this is Gabe Stoniker." I don't tell her who I am. I just say, "It's me." And as soon as she hears my voice, there's a great calm. Well, that's exactly what happened here to the disciples. They couldn't see him. They didn't know who he was. They were afraid. And they started crying out. But as soon as they heard his voice, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." They calmed down. The wind and the waves didn't. And that was the point of last Wednesday night's message. The wind and the waves didn't, but they did. And Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." A man has to have faith to say something like that. You realize what he's asking? Is that a credit to Peter? No, faith is not of ourselves. That's the gift of God. It's the faith of Christ. He's the author, the finisher, the doer, the worker, the performer, the object. He's everything concerning faith. But a man has to have faith to say, "If that's you, would you let me walk on water just like you're walking on water?" Does that give a little illustration of what we're asking when we're saying, "Lord, would you let me be there with you where you are? That's my desire." "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Let me come out there with you where you are in that impossible place." The amazing thing is, he didn't say, "Lord, if it be thou, come get into the ship with us." He wanted out of the ship. He said, "Lord, if you're out there, then I don't want to be in this ship anymore. I would feel safer being out there with you. Let me come out there with you." And the Lord said to him, "Come." Amazing. It's amazing. The scripture says, "Ask and you'll receive." If I could tell any of us something, it would be this: ask and you'll receive. The scripture says, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you." Draw nigh to God. In a world where men and women don't even think about God, draw nigh to God, and God Almighty will draw nigh to you. Peter said, "Can I come out there?" And the Lord said, "Absolutely. Come on." And Peter got out of the ship and walked on the water just like the Lord did. The scripture says, "As he is, so are we in this world. Somebody will say, but yeah, you don't foolishly believe that the Lord still performs miraculous things for His people like that still today, do you? He performs miraculous things for His people all the time. Generally, we're not aware of it. But He does it all the time. Impossible things. Things that to us seem so impossible, things that we could never dream of taking place. Abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can take pennies and turn it into a Taj Mahal if He wants to. So Peter said, "Can I come out there with you?" And the Lord said, "Yes, you can. Come on out." So Peter got out there, and he was walking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he came to Christ, as he walked straight to the Lord Jesus Christ, that water was so sure and so stable under his feet, he might as well have been walking on rock. Looking to Christ created a path so sure and so stable, he might as well have been walking on rock. The rock. Solid rock. But in the process of his walk, you can read between some of these lines if you want to. He was coming to Christ. And in the process of his walk, he took his eyes off of Christ. And the moment he took his eyes off of Christ, everything crumbled underneath his feet. And that's where mankind has gone wrong. We have taken our eyes off of Christ. We have taken our eyes off of Christ. That's what man in his flesh does. I put my name at the top of that list. That's what flesh does. It takes its eyes off of Christ. That's where all spiritual error comes from. There is a lot of spiritual error out there. Everybody's not saved. Every church is not preaching the truth. And it's scary. It's fearful. It's very fearful. There is so much spiritual error out there. And this is where all of it comes from. Taking our eyes off of Christ. What makes a religion a false religion is this. This is it right here. It can be summed up in this right here. It has taken its eyes off of Christ and looked at something else. Looked to something else. And it's as plain as the high noon sun when it happens. A religion that is fixed on Christ. A message that is fixed on Christ. A soul that is fixed on Christ. Looks to Christ. Speaks of Christ. Hears Christ, glorifies Christ. To get sidetracked on anything but Christ is to take our eyes off of Christ. That's what happened to Peter. If we get honest, that's what happens to all of God's people all the time. All the time. Something draws our attention away from Christ. And the moment that happens, we start going down. It feels like almost daily occurrences. I feel myself sinking down. You know what I'm talking about? Something draws our attention away from Christ. And it's God's mercy to use any means necessary to bring our eyes back to Christ. If we belong to Him, He will continually turn our eyes to the Lord Jesus. Turn us and we'll be turned. He does it. But that's His goodness, that's His mercy to all of His people. The wind and the waves were no surprise to Peter. They didn't come up all of a sudden. They were already there. In spite of the wind and the waves, in faith, looking to Christ, Peter got out of that ship. But as he was going, his fear of the wind and the waves became more than his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went down immediately. And he cried out to the Lord in his distress. In his moment of trouble, he immediately, it was an immediate thing. You've jumped into a pool of water before. How long does it take to go under? How much time do you have? He immediately cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and the Lord saved him and lifted him up. And the Lord said to Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? And the two of them walked back into the ship. And the moment they stepped foot in the ship, the wind ceased, the waves were still, and every soul in that ship looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now I pray God will produce that result in us. Do we know what that means? Thou art the Son of God. Do we know what that means? The Lord Jesus Christ was not born after the Father. Neither of them were born at all. You say, well, Christ was born in Bethlehem. Yes, he did prepare himself a body in order to humble himself and come in the likeness of sinful flesh. Yes, he did. But he did not begin in that moment. He was not born into a beginning moment like we are. He humbled himself in order to come to us and to dwell with us. He humbled himself. He is the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What that means is he has no beginning of days and no ending of days. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are all eternal. They're all eternal. So the Lord Jesus Christ is not younger than the Father. He does not have less authority than the Father. You know how it is. You deal with somebody. You know there's a business or something, father and son. Well, you have to talk to Dad about that. He does not have less authority than the Father. He does not have less wisdom or understanding than the Father. He is not less God than the Father. He is not half God, half man, like most people see him to be. That man is 100% Almighty God. He is not lower in rank than the Father. Christ is absolutely on par, equal with the Father. So what does thou art the Son of God mean? This is what it means. Of a truth, you are the Redeemer. You are the Redeemer of the Godhead. You are the Savior of the Godhead. You are the one that the Godhead designated to be the only mediator for sinners. The Father is the one who the Godhead designated to be the elector of sinners, the chooser of sinners, the chooser of who would be saved. The Spirit is the one who the Godhead designated to be the caller and the quickener of all of those chosen sinners. And the Son is the one who the Godhead designated to be the sacrifice for sinners, the offering for sinners, the substitute for sinners, the one who would humble himself and come down and take the place, bear the sin, shed the blood, pay the price, and lift his people out of their despair, out of their ruin, out of their destruction, and restore them back to peace and safety with God. It's to say, we know and are sure you are the only one who's able to do that. Man cannot pull himself out of ruin. Man cannot pay his own price. Man cannot redeem himself back to God. Man cannot even play a part in it. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. And there has to be somebody who can do it for man, or it's not going to be done. You're the Son of God. Thou art the Son of God. You're the only one who's able to do this. You're the only one who willingly became the servant of the Godhead in order to perform and finish the work of the Godhead. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, if God ever reveals that to a sinner, the fact that there is one man, not two, not me and him, but one man, one name whereby we must be saved. If God ever truly reveals that, a sinner will spend the rest of his days on this unstable, sinking, ruining, dying world that we live in, crying this right here. Lord, save me. I don't know how to do this. I've been thinking about this a lot, but I just want to tell us all to take a minute and go into your heart and get alone with God and cry this to Him. This is the cry of salvation. This is the cry of salvation. Lord. Oh, what it means to say Lord. Do you mind if I take about 5-10 days to just talk about what it means to say Lord? Rather than going around saying, I got saved. Lord. You know, Peter realized something very quickly. Lord, I'm crying to you. This is directed to you. What is worship directed to? Well, it's directed to the music program. It's directed to our good feeling. It's directed to the uplifting. It's directed to the... Lord... At that moment, this was between Peter and the Lord. I acknowledge you for who you are. This is what he was saying in a fraction of a second. I understand who you are. I acknowledge who you are. God. Who is Jesus Christ? God. That's what the word Lord means. The one in whose hands all of this is, Peter was saying, it's in your hands. It's not in my hands, it's in your hands. This is not in my hands, this is in your hands. Peter in this moment is realizing everything he is not and everything he cannot do. All of his lack, all of his need, and he sees his only hope right there. There's one hope of deliverance. Oh, the mercy of God that would reveal that to a sinner. Lord, you're the sovereign. You're the ruler. You're the owner. You're the controller. But Lord,
You're the Savior. Lord, you're the Savior. I'm pleading your name for your name's sake. Call your name Jesus because of what it means. I'm pleading your name. I'm crying your name. Lord, save. Salvation's of the Lord. That's what Peter cried. Salvation's of the Lord. You're the only one who has a right to redeem me right now. Rescue me. Please rescue me. Deliver me. Redeem me. Lord, save me. Not just sinners, me. I'm the sinner. I'm the sinner. I'm the one who has sunk all the way down in the depths of my sin. Yes, I see sinners, but I'm the chief. I don't have little petty sins, Lord. I'm drowning in them. Lord, save me. What fervent sincerity is in those three little words. If God ever reveals the things of Christ to a sinner, that sinner will spend the rest of his days crying, Lord, this is so. That sinner will get alone with God Almighty and will forever the rest of his days on this earth cry, Lord, save me. Save me. Every soul in flesh. There's going to come a point when our souls will not be in flesh anymore. Earthly flesh. Every soul in flesh is in the same condition Peter was in. Some know it, some don't. One man made the statement that every soul in flesh is hanging over the mouth of hell by a spider's web, and they don't even know it. That's a dangerous condition. Ask the Lord to reveal your condition to you. Like I'm speaking to all three sections here, front to back. Ask the Lord to reveal your condition to you. You know, we make it out like we're the ones in the ship looking at Peter going, poor Peter, bless his heart. Ask the Lord to reveal your condition to you. And when he does, let's all cry, Lord, save me. Save me. Let's cry it today. Let's cry it tomorrow. Let's cry it the rest of our days on this earth. Every soul who cries that to him, and I'm talking about an absolute desperate need, not lip service. Desperate need. Sincerity of the heart. Every soul will have this response given to their cry. Verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. For the child of God, sinking in despair is not a one-time thing. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to need his deliverance from all of the sin that's dragging us down. And you just cry these three little words every time you need him. Lord, save me. It is that simple, that impossible. Unless God puts that cry in us. But if he does, Lord, save me. Oh, the simplicity that there is in Christ. Lord, save me. Every time you'll have the same response Peter had. Immediately, he will stretch forth his hand and he'll lift you out. The wind and the waves may not cease. Everything around you, you may still feel like wind and waves are all around you. But immediately, He'll stretch forth his hand and he'll deliver you. How do we know that? How can we be so sure? Just listen to this. Isaiah 9:17 talks about the sin and rebellion of God's people against him and the stiffness of their neck and the hardness of their heart. But this is what it says. It says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." It says, "And he forsook them not." Oh, they're so rebellious and stiff-necked and hard-hearted. He didn't forsake them. He was ready, ready to save them. Isaiah 38:20 says, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore will we sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." Oh, how simple a cry. Even a little child can cry this. Children. Even children can cry this. Lord, save me. Those are three simple words, but I will tell you this. It'll take the power of God to make a person cry that. I mean, really cry it from the soul. If we're going to cry that, God is going to have to reveal to us that we're lost. One dear preacher from years, many, many years ago, made the statement, "I'm not trying to get men saved, I'm trying to get men lost." That's where this starts. If God does this, he's going to reveal to you that you're lost. And you're going to say, "I didn't know I was lost." God's going to have to reveal to us that we're sinners, and we're going to say, "I didn't know I was a sinner." Not really. God's going to have to reveal to us that we're sinking in despair. And men and women will not know that until God reveals it to them. But if he does, we will cry. He will answer, and we'll be saved. If he starts the work, he'll finish it. Oh, what good comfort that is. If he starts the work and puts something in here that cries, "I'm going down, I'm going down, I'm going down. I need you now." If he starts the work, he has already finished the work. And there's such comfort in that. May God reveal our condition to us, reveal our need to us, reveal Christ to us. Lord, save us. All right.